Amen. You know, I actually remember a time when the Lord physically healed me. Just thinking about what Brother Roger was sharing. I had just gotten saved. Hadn't been saved long at all. And I developed a hernia. Very painful. And at that time, I didn't have insurance because even though I was saved, all my money was going on paying jail fines and paying for two cars that I totaled, absolutely totaled, and I was still paying for them. That's where all my money was going. And I didn't have money for insurance. And I was with a friend of mine. We were went somewhere for lunch, and I had a plate of hamburger and french fries, and he had a plate of hamburger and french fries, and we were eating, and he could see that I was in a lot of pain, and he asked me, well, what's wrong? And I told him, well, I developed a hernia, and I don't have no money, and I can't pay for insurance. I can't go see the doctor. And he said, let me pray for you. And he set his hamburger down on his plate, and he reached over my hamburger and my plate of french fries. I mean, it wasn't a very spiritual setting at all. And he placed his hand on my shoulder, and he prayed for me. Very simple prayer. Oh, Lord, you know, Tim, he lived a no good life, but here he is, and he loves you now. And would you just please help him? He doesn't have any money, and he's reaping what he's sowing, but can you have mercy on him and heal him? And when he said amen, the moment his hand lifted from my shoulders, I never had another pain again. Amen. I mean, God healed me right there. So I know the Lord can do it. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about the Lord is near to those who call upon Him in truth. The Lord is near to those who call upon Him in truth. Go with me in your Bibles to Psalm 145. Just want to read two scriptures out of Psalm 145. It's a tremendous psalm. It's all about God's faithfulness. It's a psalm of praise. The psalmist is just declaring and celebrating the faithfulness of the Lord. There's two verses I want to read from this psalm. Psalm 145, and we're going to read verse 18 and 19. Verse 18 says, the Lord is near unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Let's pray this morning. Father, I just ask that You would just help me this morning, God. Lord, this is a verse that You've been speaking to my heart, drawing my heart to, Lord, in my own personal devotional times with You and private prayer times, Lord, just speaking something to my heart, Lord. And Lord, I feel in my heart that You would have me share it this morning. And God, I just pray that we would hear Your voice, God. Not the voice of a man standing behind a glass pulpit, but I pray my brothers and sisters, through Your messenger today, would just hear the voice of their Father speaking in a very simple but deep way to their hearts today. Father, we love You today, and we just glorify You and thank You for Your great faithfulness in our life. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just begin by saying that verse 18 speaks a very fundamental, but yet a very priceless and a very precious truth regarding the Christian faith. And that priceless truth is simply that when the Lord's people praise, God draws near. The Lord is nigh to those that call upon Him, that when God's people pray, God draws near. Beloved, there's not one prayer from our heart that God does not hear. And every prayer rouses God's heart. You know, I think about my daughter, Rebecca. You know, she sleeps upstairs. She has her own room upstairs. She sleeps upstairs. And me and my wife sleep downstairs. And we have a baby monitor beside our bed. And it's so amazing. My wife can be in an absolute dead sleep. But if Rebecca even whimpers just a little bit, she's up. And not only is she up, she's got her ear pointed toward the monitor. And Rebecca has absolutely captured her attention. And beloved, what I want us to understand today is that every moment of our lives, God has his ear pressed upon our hearts. And the faintest prayer, the quietest prayer, the most private prayer brings God near to us. And I want us to notice in verse 18 and 19 that the psalmist is speaking about God's great faithfulness to deliver his people from something that's seeking to overcome them. The psalmist is talking about God's great faithfulness to draw near to a people when something is threatening to captivate their lives. And what that speaks to each one of us this morning is simply this, that if there's any kind of cry in our heart that's crying out for spiritual freedom, if there's any kind of cry in our heart that's crying out for the Lord to truly bring us in a place that we are walking in genuine freedom, spiritual freedom, God will hear that cry. And that is a cry that God will bring great grace to. Listen, if you're here this morning and there's something in your life that you're struggling with, there's something in your life that you have not got complete victory over yet, and yet there's something, there's a genuine cry in your heart that, God, I really need your help. I really want to come into the fullness of victory in this. Listen, that prayer will draw God's grace to your heart every time. God hears that prayer. Now, beloved, right here, I'm going to ask most of you, if you would just bear with me a minute, because there is a story that I've told three or four times from behind this pulpit, and the reason why I tell it is because it really means a lot to my heart. I mean, it's priceless to my heart. And if the Lord doesn't come and take me away, whether by rapture or by death, I'll probably tell it three or four more times. Amen? I call this my Dimier's Rock story. That's what I call it. I didn't know he was going to be here today, Dimier, but I'm going to tell it again. Listen. Do you see this little rock in the back? I'll hold it up high. Do you see my little rock? Listen. 8 or 9 years ago, if you would have brought this rock to me and placed this rock before me and said, Tim, Pastor Tim, if you'll give me 25 cents, I'll give you this rock. You know, if you had done that, I would have looked at you like you were a big goof. Who would pay 25 cents for a rock? I think I could go down to the campus center and get a cup of ice cream for 25 cents. Why would I want to buy a rock? But today, if you was to come down to this pulpit and wave $1 million in my face, and I literally mean that, and say, Pastor Tim, I'll give you this $1 million if you'll give me that little rock, it wouldn't even be a temptation for me. I believe that with all my heart. I would say, listen, there isn't any amount of money in the world you could pay me for this little rock. This little rock is mine and it's priceless. Listen, when I die, they're going to place this little rock in my casket and I'm taking it to heaven with me. I want to have this rock forever, forever, and forever. So keep your $1 million, your $2 million. This has a lot more value to me than if you offered me all the riches in the world. Amen. Now, let me tell you why this little rock means so much to me. When I was in seventh grade, I had something that happened to me when I was a boy. And the moment that it happened to me, a stronghold got a hold of my life. a stronghold of fear, a tormenting fear. And I lived in tormented fear for many years, tormenting fear. Even as a Christian, I lived in tormenting fear. And about 7 or 8 years ago, it was just one of those days where I was really struggling with this tormenting fear. If you've never been there, it's hell. When there's a fear that has a hold on your life to the point that it torments you every day, it's hell. And it was just one of those days that I was really struggling with that fear. And one more time, I found myself on the carpet with the Lord, just talking to the Lord and saying, God, you got to help me. God, you got to help me. And suddenly the presence of the Lord came into that room and Jesus spoke. He said, peace, be still. And suddenly the waves and the winds that were crashing in my heart were suddenly still. It was so miraculous. And then in that moment, that quiet moment, the Lord reminded me of a story in the Bible of a man named Zerubbabel who was facing his own mountain of impossibility. And as he was looking at his mountain of impossibility, the Lord said to Zerubbabel, I want you to look at that mountain. I want you to shout grace, grace to that mountain. The Lord was saying to Zerubbabel, I know it looks so big and it looks so powerful and it looks so strong, but Zerubbabel, I want you to know my grace is going to level that mountain. It's not going to be able to stand before you. It's not going to be able to defeat you. Shout grace to it. And the Lord spoke to my heart. He started speaking to me in a very personal way. And he said, Tim, listen, if you'll just continue to trust me, if you'll just continue to walk with me and make the choices that you know honor me, that whenever choices present itself before you and you know what the honorable thing to do is, you know what will honor me in this situation. Tim, if you would just continue to make the choices that honor me, I'm telling you, I will level this mountain in your life and you will be free. It doesn't matter how big it is. It doesn't matter how powerful it looks. I will level it in your life and you will know freedom. And I got up off the floor comforted. And as soon as I got off the floor, I stepped out of my prayer closet and my son, Dimir, was there. He was there to meet me. And he said, Daddy, I was walking down the road today and I saw this little rock and I picked it up and I couldn't help but think how it looks like a mountain. Doesn't it look like a mountain, Daddy? Look at it. Doesn't it look like a mountain? And I thought to myself, you know what? That looks like a mountain and my daddy would like to have this rock. So Daddy, I'm giving you this rock. Now listen, he had no idea that just a minute ago, God was talking to me about a mountain that was in my life. He had no idea. And God was using this rock in the hands of my little boy. He's not little anymore. He's 13, but then back then he was about 7. To confirm to me that, Tim, there's no mountain in your life that is as big and as great as my grace. And I can honestly to say today, I don't know when it happened. I don't know the day it happened. I don't know the hour it happened. All I know is I woke up one day and I was free. The thought, the memory is still there. But the torment's not there. And the fear's not there. And I can honestly say with all my heart, if when it passes before my mind, it doesn't even bother me in the least little bit because God has set me free. His grace in my life has set me free. And beloved, I keep this little rock in my study on my bookcase because it reminds me that no matter what's going on in my life, no matter how big it looks, God's grace is bigger. Amen. And I'm telling you this morning, when your heart is crying out for freedom, God will always draw near with great grace. Amen. But in regards to this, there's something I truly believe the Lord wants to talk about this morning. There's something on His heart that He wants to graciously remind us of. So I want you to look with me again at verse 18. Verse 18 says, "The Lord is near unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." And I really want to emphasize that. God is saying, I'm near to those that call upon me in truth. Now, so often when we see this word truth in the Bible, usually we think about, well, what the Lord is saying here is, I'm near to those that love truth. I'm near to those that just walk with me in truth. That I'm near to those that hide my word in their heart and they walk with me upon the grounds of truth. Beloved, all that is true, but that's not the truth that the Lord is talking about in this scripture. You see, this word truth in verse 18 means sincerity. Sincerity. What God is saying is this: I am near to those who call upon me out of a sincere heart. And you know, as I was meditating upon the scripture, the Lord really began to speak to me. And what he spoke so powerfully in my life, so deeply in my life, is this: more than anything else, I just want my people's hearts to be sincere. That their love for me is sincere. That their desire for me is sincere. Their heart to worship me is sincere. Their desire to serve me is sincere. It's their sincerity that makes everything they do priceless. It's not the act that makes it priceless. When you're worshiping me, it's not the act of your worship that makes your worship of any value. It's what's in your heart. And when you're working in the ministry, it's not the ministry and the things that you do in ministry that's priceless to me. It's your heart. What's in your heart? I want to see sincerity in the hearts of my people. You know, it reminds me of many years ago. It was a Saturday night, and I was praying to the Lord, trying to get a sermon for Sunday. And I was praying, and I was praying, and I was praying, and I was reading. I was reading Genesis. I was reading Exodus. I went to Psalms. I went to Proverbs. I went to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I even thought, maybe I'll get something out of Leviticus. And for hours I went through this until the place where I was absolutely exhausted. And I finally shouted at the Lord, "Lord, what is it that you want from me?" And immediately in that small, still, tender voice, God said this: "I don't want great sermons from you. Our relationship isn't built upon you preaching great sermons. It's not great sermons in your life that I want." And preachers get caught up in that. We think our whole relationship with God is how we preach in our sermons. And God says, "I don't want great sermons from you. Tim, this is what I want from you. I just want you to love me like I love you. And I want you to desire me like I desire you. That's what I want from you." You know, going back to verse 18, in that place of meditation, the Lord really began to challenge me. He spoke really deep into my heart. He said, "Tim, there are places in your heart and your ministry where sincerity is diminishing. There are places in your heart and ministry where sincerity is losing strength. There are places where you're just going through the motions, but your heart isn't really sincere. There are places where your sincerity is truly losing ground." And you know, when the Lord spoke to that my heart, he wasn't thundering. It wasn't a thundering voice. He didn't say, "Oh, you're not sincere anymore. I'm not going to hear your prayers anymore." That's not what he said. It was a very tender voice. And God was just addressing something that needed to be addressed. And beloved, I can say, after a season of deep heart searching for me, being a Christian all boils down to this: I want to be a Christian for one reason. My love for God is sincere. I want to worship God for one reason. My worship is sincere. I want to be in ministry for one reason. My desire to serve the Lord is sincere. I want to be a pastor and a teacher at Summit for one reason. My desire to serve God's people is sincere. Beloved, I want my relationship and service to the Lord to be from a sincere heart. I didn't get saved for other things to be first place in my life. I didn't get saved just so I can be saved and Jesus can be second place or third place in my life. And there's just something else that I love more than Him and I want to do more than Him. I didn't get saved for that. When I got saved because there was a genuine cry in my heart, Jesus, I want You first place in my life. And I want Your will for my life. It started out with a sincere heart. My salvation started out with a sincere heart. And by the grace of God, it's going to end with a sincere heart. When I worship You, God, I'm not in chapel just going through the motions. My heart is sincere because my worship is sincere. And when I stand behind a pulpit and preach, I'm not here just because I'm drawing a paycheck and I have good benefits from being in the ministry. I'm here for one reason. God, I want to serve You with all my heart in sincerity. That's why I'm here. It all boils down to that in my heart. God, everything I do, I just want to do it with a sincere heart. Because You're first place. Beloved, it's our sincerity that gives value to all that we do. It's our sincerity that gives any kind of meaning to all that we do. When my love for God is genuine and sincere, that is what gives meaning to my worship. Jesus said, they draw near to Me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from Me. And you know, this reminds me of a man that I truly esteem in the Lord. He was just sharing a testimony one time. And he was talking about a dream that the Lord had given him. And he said that in this dream, he was standing in the middle of a church service. And it was a very energetic, it was a very lively church service. I mean, it was so exuberant. Listen, he said, you haven't seen worship till you saw that worship. The choir was up here and they were singing with such fervency and they were jumping up and down and they were hopping and they were singing with all their might. And the people, they weren't in the pews. They were in the aisles dancing and stomping and clapping before the Lord. It looked like the place was on fire. But he said, strangely enough, I couldn't hear any of it. It was like stone silent in that room. You could hear a pin drop. He said, I felt like a deaf man in this room, and all I could do was observe. And I finally asked the Lord, and I said, Lord, how come I can't hear anything? And God answered and said, because there isn't anything to hear. Honestly, their hearts aren't sincere. So there isn't anything for You to hear. Beloved, I just want to say it again. It's our sincerity that gives any kind of value to anything that we do to the Lord. And when I say sincerity, I simply mean I love Him. When I say, God, I love You, it's not fluff. It's coming out of a genuine, sincere heart. God, I love You. And God says, that's what gives value. Amen. Beloved, this morning, capture this. Capture this. This morning, the Lord wants us to truly understand that our hearts are His most precious possession. More than anything else He has created, He treasures our heart. When our hearts sincerely love Him, That sincerity is the most precious and priceless treasure he possesses. You know, I think about my own children. I mean, my son and even my daughter who's going on 4, they will tell you, Daddy is not perfect. When Daddy's tired, he gets cranky. When Daddy's tired, he gets grumpy. When Daddy's tired, he gripes about, why is there a little napkin lying on the floor? I spent all day cleaning the house. Don't anybody care that I spend all day cleaning the house? That's Daddy. But they know, listen, I know, they love their Daddy. Daimir, do you love your Daddy? They love their Daddy. And when either my son or my daughter says, Daddy, I love you, I want to tell you something. All the money in the world could not buy that and could not replace that. And I'm telling you, when our love for the Lord is sincere, it is his most priceless possession. Amen. Now let's move on. I want you to look with me at verse 19. Verse 19 says, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. It says, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. And I really want to emphasize that word, fear him. Beloved, that word fear is a new covenant word. How many of you know that? He'll fulfill the desire of those that fear him. And what I'm saying is, I believe sincerity leads to the revelation of the fear of the Lord. That when our hearts are sincere, it leads to the revelation of what is the proper fear of the Lord and how it becomes a reality in my life. Beloved, listen, the true fear of the Lord only comes by supernatural revelation and supernatural working of God in the heart. There's nothing in my mind that can understand what the genuine fear of the Lord is, and there's nothing in my life that has the strength to work it in my heart. It's something so supernatural. And the Lord says here in his word, he's saying, when you walk with me with a sincere heart, I will teach you what the fear of the Lord is, and I will make it real in your life. Beloved, understand, listen, the true fear of the Lord is important. The Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It tells us by the fear of the Lord, man departs from evil. It tells us that the secret of the Lord is given to those that fear him. It's important. You know, I heard a wonderful man of God say one time that the Bible says the Christian road that we travel is narrow because straight is the way and narrow is the gate. And to keep us on this narrow road, God has placed two barriers on each side of us to keep us from falling in the ditch. See, we're on this narrow road and there's a ditch on each side. And to keep us from falling off on this side, the Lord puts the love of God. And to keep us from going over here and falling off this side, the Lord places the fear of God. So we're walking down this road, and the love of God is here to keep us from falling into the ditch of legalism, where our Christianity is simply cold rules without relationship. But then again, he places the fear of God over on this side to protect us from that mindset that says, well, I can live any old way I want to. It doesn't matter how fleshly and rebellious I am. God loves me and his grace covers me. I'm telling you, that's wrong too. So he places the love of God to keep us from falling into that pit of legalism, and he places the fear of God to keep us from falling in that place of lascivious grace, and he keeps us on that straight and narrow. Beloved, I'm telling you, the love of God and the fear of God have a very important place in our lives, and we need to understand the fear of God. It's part of his keeping power. And God says, it's when you walk with me with a sincere heart that I'll teach you what the fear of the Lord is. Amen. And here's what I want us to know about the fear of the Lord. Listen. The fear of the Lord is not a captivating fear. It is a freeing fear. It's not a captivating fear. It is a liberating fear. Quickly, go with me to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Look with me at verse 31. Acts 9 verse 31 says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified, It says, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Beloved, do you see how the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost go together? It's inseparable. In other words, what it is saying here is this. Where there is the proper fear of the Lord, there is the comfort of the Holy Ghost. There is a deep underlying peace and rest in the heart. Beloved, listen, the most peaceful, rested, fear-free, and liberated Christians in the world are those who fear God in the proper way. Listen, when you see somebody who's really walking in genuine freedom, when you see somebody who's really walking in spiritual freedom, you can know in your heart they fear God. Because it is just a byproduct. Freedom is just a byproduct of the fear of the Lord. Amen. You know, we talk a lot about freedom. Let me ask you a question. What is the evidence that we're truly free? I believe the greatest fruit of freedom is rest. I believe when your heart is truly at rest in the Lord, you're free. And that comes from having a right understanding of the fear of the Lord. Well, Pastor Tim, can you tell me what the proper fear of the Lord is? Well, I'm not going to in this message. I'm just going to tell you how you get it. God says, if you'll walk with me with a sincere heart, I'll teach you what the fear of the Lord is, and I'll make it a reality in your life. And where there's my fear, there is great freedom. Now, I want to end with this. I want you to go with me to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. This is the end of my message. And I just want to end by asking a very simple question. Very simple question. Look with me at John chapter 19. Let's start with verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers placed upon his head a crown of thorns. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests thereof and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate said unto them, Take ye away him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Look with me at verse 14. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore to them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. And two other with him on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Beloved, here's my question. After the tremendous price Jesus paid for our salvation, is he not worthy of a sincere heart? Isn't he worthy that we love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Isn't he worthy to truly have first place in our hearts? Isn't he worthy of our life? Isn't he worthy that my Christian walk be marked with sincerity? I think he is. Stand with me. My altar call is simply this. I just want to take a moment just to worship the Lord out of a sincere heart. I just want to take a moment to forget about everything, what we're going to do after service, the meal downstairs. And I just want to take a moment just to focus on the Lord and just worship Him. And Sister Christine, I'm just going to ask if y'all could just play the song Majesty again. And beloved, let's worship the Lord. He's so worthy of it. He's so worthy of a sincere heart. And if while we are worshiping, if you want to come down and kneel at the altar and lift your hands before the Lord and just say, I love you, God, please feel free to do that. If there's a place in your life while I was preaching, the Lord was putting a finger on and saying, you know what? Your sincerity is losing strength in this area. And I'm just calling you to think about your salvation and my goodness and faithfulness in your life. And I'm calling you to one more time, by my grace, just come back to that place of sincerity. God, I want to serve you with a sincere heart. I don't want to go through the motions. God, I want my walk to be based upon the grounds of sincerity. While we worship the Lord, if you just want to come down and just give things back over to the Lord. You want to reconsecrate your life to God. Say, God, I give you all my heart. I give you all my life again. If while we're doing that in this place of worship, if you want to do that, just feel free. Let's worship the Lord for a few minutes. You know, there's something on my heart I want to do. I really feel like it's from the Lord. I believe there are people here, and your past still has a hold on you. Your past still has a grip on you. Let me just say it again real briefly. I know what the hell of that is. You know, I know how one person's actions, one person's selfish actions can wreck you for the rest of your life. But I'm telling you, God can free you. His grace can free you. And you don't have to tell anybody what it is. That's not what we're here for. But my heart is simply, as Pastor Tim, yes, there's something in my past that still has a grip on my life. I live in fear. I live in shame. I live in guilt. I may live in all of the above. And I need God. I need His grace. It's something I can't do in my own strength. Only God's grace can break it. And if that's you, I want you to just come to the altar and stand in front of the altar. And I just want to anoint you with oil. And we're going to sing that song again. And after I anoint you with oil, just take a moment to just worship the Lord. And I'm going to believe God is going to do something deep. He's going to do something deep. Come on, stand. Come on, let's come. If that's you, if you say, Pastor Tim, there's something in my past that still has a grip on my life. I want you to just come to the altar. Everybody else that's in the altar, can you just move forward or back? Can you just move backwards just a little bit to let these people come? Just play that lightly. Now, just so I know who you are, can you step a little closer to the altar? And I'm going to tell you, this is the Lord handing you a rock this morning and saying, if you'll continue to trust me, you will see grace break through. You will be free. The Lord's offering you a little rock this morning. There's no mountain in your life that's greater than His grace. Just trust Him. So as Christina just sings that song, I'm not even going to pray. I'm just going to come and anoint you. And you worship the Lord. As an offering of faith, as an offering of trust, you worship the Lord. He will move your mountain. You will be free. Lead us in the worship, Christina.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. God's grace is greater. Amen. And I'm telling you, if you'll trust the Lord, He'll level every mountain in your life. Just trust the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. Stand with me this morning. I'm going to close in prayer. And if you'd like to stay around the altar longer, please feel free to do so. Please feel free to do so. Father, I thank You this morning for coming. God, in Your great graciousness and in Your great grace, You have come, Lord, and You have done something in hearts, God, that only You can do, God. Lord, I truly believe, Lord, people have walked out of here, Lord, with a little rock, with a token from the Lord that just trust Me. My grace will break through. You will know freedom. You will know freedom. God, I thank You for that, God. Oh, Lord, that nothing is greater, powerful, stronger than the greatness of Your grace in our life, God. And Father, our desire is that we would walk with You with a sincere heart. God, if the sincerity of our heart ever begins to lose strength, God, if our fire ever begins to die, Lord, and we begin to, Lord, begin to move into the things of this world, God, that we don't have no business dabbling in, it's because somewhere sincerity is losing strength in our heart, God. God, if we're dabbling with things of the world that we know isn't after Your heart and Your nature and Your character, God, it's because somewhere the sincerity that was in our heart is losing strength. And God, I pray that You would blow upon the fire again. God, I pray that You would remind us of the price that You paid for our great salvation and the price that You paid for our freedom, God. And one more time, our hearts would become a flame for You again, God. And one more time, in sincerity, we would worship You in spirit and in truth, God. Thank You, Lord. I believe there's been a gentle wind here this morning blowing upon our flame, God, the breath of God. And I thank You, Lord. And we love You. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this morning.